spiritually, physically. Many have predicted 2026 as a year of spiritual warfare. It's a year of growth. It's a year of so many different things. So we are in our third month of 2026. We're about halfway through it. We're going to be in our fourth month here soon. This month leading all the way up to April 5th, which is the greatest. Doesn't always happen on April 5th, but one of the greatest things that Christians are here and on this planet for, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who gives life, who brings life. This month, our theme is unconditional love. So bump your neighbor and say, I've got nothing but unconditional love for you. Nothing but unconditional love for you. A love that is so great, a love that is so powerful, a love that is so intense, a love that is so deep, a love that stretches as far as our eyes can see, a love that is giving, caring, sacrificing, serving, a love that is patient and kind and never gives up, a love that endures. Where does this love come from? Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it says this. So they arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes, where Jesus climbed out of the boat, and a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, he often snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling, cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him. He ran to meet him. He bowed low before him. Verse 7, with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of that man, you evil spirit." Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion," because there are many of us inside of this man. The evil spirits begged him again to send them into some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into the pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man, entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus. They saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed now, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. The crowd began pleading with Jesus, "Go away. Leave them alone." And Jesus was getting in the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go to your home family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." And the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he said. And so this morning, Kevin, maybe you think an interesting story to go along with our theme, unconditional love. But I want you to know everything in this story, everything that we're going to read about, everything that we're going to talk about, everything that you see this morning, it's going to lead to one thing at the end. One thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to lead to one thing. One thing. And remember, clearly, our text today, our very first one, is about a man who possessed with roughly 6,000 demons. A legion, roughly 6,000 demons. 2026, getting back to the basics, maybe 2026, getting back to join the fight in which God has called every one of us. Paul said, listen to Timothy, he said, listen, I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to fight the good fight. I want you to go after evil. I want you to go after darkness. I want you to go after every single day and fight hard with blood, sweat, and tears. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Go after. Get everything that God has for you. Take the land. Take territory. Take homes. Take houses. Go after and fight like hell. 2026, one of the biggest things that is the description of 2026 is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. What is it? It is the willingness to join in a fight that we can't see. I can remember in junior high, I can remember in high school, so many fights that we've seen. And even, you know, back then we didn't have phones. So when there was a fight, everyone would just scream fight and everybody would run and they'd watch. Today, as soon as there's a fight, kids get out their phones, they start filming everything, and then they can post it and send it and everybody can see the fight. It's amazing when it's one, two, three, four people fighting, what happens is a crowd of people just whoosh. And sometimes, how many kids, when they run up on a fight, they say, man, oh man, that's my boy right there, that's my homie. And he makes a quick decision. Maybe I need to join in the fight. And so this morning, I want us to ask ourselves, there's a spiritual battle that none of us see. And every single day, one of the first things God asks you in the morning, are you ready to join the fight? Are you ready to join the fight? Our text today describes a guy. There were seven things that his life was built on. Seven things that described his life. Seven things. The first thing that this man was described as a man who was surrounded and lived by dead people. I don't know about you. I haven't been around a lot of dead people. Been to a few funerals. It's not something that I would choose to want to live and to be around every single day. But for some reason, this man, he wanted to hang out. He wanted to live the smell of death, the stink, the filth. This is where he felt comfortable. This is where he felt at home. Now, if you think about home for a second, how many of us, you know, going to work, one of the first things on our mind is, man, I can't wait to get home. Ah, can't wait to get home. Can't wait to get home. Going on vacation sometimes. Some of us go on vacation. We get that opportunity to go on vacation. We go away for a few days, go away for a week. One of the thoughts in our head, what? I can't wait to get home. What is home considered? Home is considered a place where people live, they occupy. It's a place that they prepare. This is what we prepare for. This is our home. This is what we take care of. This is what we live to do for our home. And so this man, his home, he decided was going to be the graveyard. And why would anyone, I'm pretty sure all of us in here this morning, we have not chosen to get a tent, go pitch it in one of the graveyards in Hemet, and just live there every day, right? Has any one of us ever decided, this is what I want my life to be? I want to go live with dead people. No matter what I say to them, you know what? They're not going to talk back. So maybe for this man, maybe he had a really rough childhood, and the way people talked to him, what he would say, they talk back. Because spiritually, actually, the graveyard, even though it seems maybe dark, stinky, gross, there's actually also a feeling of peace because it is so silent. But I want to look at it from the other side of the coin. The graveyard is a place that is full of dead people. People who live their life, whether they lived it to the fullest and lived it to the end and died. There are people, and many of us know people, who did not get to live a full life and they died before their time. But regardless who they were, regardless how they lived, they're dead. And this man chose to live around dead people. Maybe it was peaceful. I don't think so. I think it was dark. I think there was an energy. I think there were spirits that were in this area and around the area because there was something that charged. There was something that made him feel charged. And it wasn't God, and it wasn't truth, and it wasn't love. There was darkness. and it charged and filled and consumed this man. You know, the writer of Proverbs says, walk with the wise and you become wise. Associate with fools and you will absolutely be a fool. He lived with death and he became death. He lived with darkness and he was consumed with darkness. And it wasn't just a little bit of darkness. There was 6,000 roughly dark things that wanted to inhabit and be consumed. So daily, weekly, the amount of darkness that was consuming this man, it continued to build and grow into his life. Why? Because we become who we hang around. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be fooled with such people who say, bad company. Yes, it always, will always. Paul says, what does bad company do? It corrupts good character. So there's seven things that describe this man. The first one, he chose to surround himself with darkness. If you choose to surround yourself with things every single day, it is those things that will define you and make you who you are. He was surrounded with death. That's who he was. The second word that describes this man is a man who lived unrestrained. This man was filled with pain, misery, darkness. Many of us know that when you love someone and you are in love with someone, that love is intoxicating. That love can give you like a charge, right? So this man's charge, the things that charged his batteries, it was what? It was darkness and death and pain and misery. Every person that knew him, you know what they tried to do? They tried to chain him up for his safety. But every single person who tried to chain him up, they couldn't put chains on him because what? He was a man unrestrained. Spiritually, this number two is a tough one for a lot of people because we sometimes don't like the correction, discipline, and the rebuke of God, and we want to live unrestrained. Strain, just like this guy. No one's going to touch me. No one's going to harm me. No one's going to tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. Have we ever, you know, I'm sure as kids, some of us in here, we used to play cowboys and Indians, right? It's probably not politically correct today to play cowboys and Indians. But back in the day, though, how many people played cowboys and Indians? Somebody would have, you know, handcuffs. How many of us have ever played a game where we're trying to restrain another human being? You know, it goes from being a kid and playing games to being an adult. And when we become adults, many of us in here, without realizing it, we're trying to restrain other people in our lives with our words. Many adults, we use powerful, big, controlling words. Why? Because we want to restrain, control, and limit other people. So many adults today, the way that they speak, it's a verbal bondage that they're trying to create in somebody else. Words that could be used to encourage, but instead many people choose their words, what they think in power, what they think in guilt. They're going to use it to impose limitations on other human beings. Understand today, God made you to be free. God made you to be confident. God made you to be happy. God wants you to live with a sense of power that comes from His Word. But unfortunately, there's a lot of bad eggs. There's a lot of people been through a lot of bad things in this world. Pain, hurt, guilt, and people. Past. Bad parenting. So there's a lot of adults today. Hold on a second. There's a lot of adults today that want to use their words as verbal bondage. This man, everything in this story spiritually paints a picture of many different things. This man, the highlight was a man who had seven different things that he was dealing with. Seven different things that were defining him. seven different things that made him who he was. It's a man, and we don't know why, but led him to this point in his life. Can you imagine 6,000 demons? Many of us have seen shows on TV where someone's demon-possessed, right? Many of us have seen, if you've been in the church a long time, you know, 20 years, 25 years ago, there was people, it used to be happening in the church all the time where people come up and people would lay hands on someone and they start flopping around and jumping all around like a fish, right? All kinds of things. Can you imagine 6,000 different demons attacking you daily, attacking every minute? We don't know why he let so many in. We don't know why that he associated and wanted to be. But this was a man. It was darkness that filled him now, and it was darkness that gave him the power to live an unrestrained life. People who are dark or who are in the darkness, they don't want to get close to the light. They're afraid of the light. They're afraid of the truth, right? This man, unfortunately, he lived an unrestrained life, and many of us in here today, we want to be unrestrained. We want to be powerful. But sometimes what we want, without realizing it, we use to dictate control over other people. God's asked us to be careful about our words. God's asked us to be careful about what we say and how we say it to other people. Because sometimes emotions, thoughts that get out of hand, we take those words, those thoughts and those feelings, and then we create bondage for somebody else. Third thing, the man says that he was shackled and chained every single day. Shackles on his feet, chains on his hands. So he was walking around with shackles every single day. His feet and his hands that were chained, the feet and hands being tied up, hands representing the ability to create, hands that represent the ability to heal, hands representing the ability to work, hands that are representing the ability to bless other people. So if we were to look at our hands this morning, if we were to understand four things that maybe God gives us every single day, the ability with my hands, create, heal, work, and bless other people. And so someone out of protection, just like us as parents sometimes, how many of us say, out of protection, we're going to put chains on our kids' hands. We're going to put shackles on our kids' feet. And most teenagers say, yep, that's what parents do. They're tied me up every day, all right? That's what parents are good for. That's what they do, is tie me up. I want you to look at your hands for a second. Do you feel that this morning with your hands that you have been creative? Do you feel that with your two hands that you've been healing? Do you feel that with your two hands you've been blessing other people? Do you feel that with your hands you have the ability to work? And if you don't, then there is something spiritually, I'm not going to say demonically, but something spiritually that isn't just right. This man was chained every day. This man had shackles on his feet, representing our life's journey. It's our feet that help us go in the correct direction. It's our feet that understand humility and the path that we should take every single day. This man was unable. He chose the graveyard, but he was unable to leave the graveyard because people wanted to subdue and keep him in the graveyard. Because sometimes, instead of truly wanting a person to get better, we would rather them and leave them stuck in darkness. It's too much. It's too much time. It would cost too much money to help somebody out. For whatever reason, people said, this man needs help. It just ain't me. This man needs help. I'd rather chain him up and leave him exactly where he is. His hands to heal, to bless, to work. His feet, the ability to get in the right direction. So important. These two things that work hand in hand, needing the movement for every part of life. Why? Why do we do what we do? Why do others do to us what they do? Why is there so much control today? Why is there so many things, men and women, who want to control other people? Why many feel the government, right? The world system, money, control, so many different things we want to look to and blame. Out of emotional, sometimes mental, physical. This man, fourthly, was described as a man who wondered. We don't know how big the graveyard was. Maybe it was, 100 feet by 100 feet. We don't know how big, but all he did with the shackles and his chains and trying to break them and get out, not leaving, is a man who wondered. He never settled. He couldn't settle. I'm just going to continue with no purpose in my life, no direction, a shift, looking, chasing, wanting, desiring, just not sure what it is. To wonder in life, to be unsettled, running day to day, running from the routine. How many of us have ever been in that point of a season in life where I'm just tired of the routine? I'm tired of the habits I got to do and things I got to go through every single day. I'm tired of the 9 to 5. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. This man lived a life of wondering. He did not want the routine. He did not want to settle. He wanted to just wander around his little section. I want to get away from the life of order and just keep wondering. You know, what path we choose to take every single day, it's an important decision. Every single morning, Proverbs 4:26, mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on that path. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on that path. Don't get sidetracked and keep your feet from following evil. It's important every single day what path we take. Fifthly, what describes this man is, for whatever reason, he wanted to bark through the night. Now, many of us, unfortunately, sometimes there's a lot of things, noises we can make at night. Sometimes people snore. Sometimes people breathe real heavily and have a hard time breathing at night. This man, for whatever reason, he liked to bark like a dog. I don't know about you, but if it's a human being and he barked like a dog through the night, did that mean that he was a dog? No, right? Maybe he wanted to be a dog. Maybe he wanted to bark all night. Maybe he wanted, maybe this is why he was so upset and hurt in life, because he wanted to be a dog. And if I bark like one, maybe one day I'll be one. Sometimes people act outwardly what they feel, what is going on the inside. There's an expression, a cry for help. Look at me. He's barking. So many of us today trying to be something or someone that we're not. If I bark like a dog, does it mean I'm a dog? No. This man barked like a dog, does it mean he was a dog? No. But for whatever reason, he chose to do it every single day. So many people today live with an imposter syndrome. There's this thing, this feeling. People who know that there's some kind of deceit in their hearts, being a little fake. I have some fraudulent things that I've done, unauthentic things. Millions today deal, mental, emotionally, physical, with the pursuit with different versions of themselves. So many millions of Americans aren't happy with the version they have, and so they're constantly pursuing a different version of who they think they are or should be. This man, driven to be, want to be, and act like a dog. Today we're driven by friends, social media. It's like wearing a mask. Friday the 13th, we've had a couple of Friday the 13ths recently, and Friday the 13th is unfortunately a scary movie, or maybe some of us would not consider it scary, but the man is going around killing people, right? Man that had this mask. They war as they went out and attacked innocent people. That's how many people live their lives today. They get up. This is the color of mask I put on. I'm not happy with myself, but I will go out and I will portray myself as someone who is happy with myself. I will go out and I'm not very happy with the way that I look or feel today, but I'll put on a mask and I'm going to go portray the image of someone who is happy. Fake. Many people, Americans and around the world, many of us put on different masks with different friends and with different people, portraying this image of something that's not really true, what's going on inside, different than our path and our journey. Something else that is going on. Lastly, this man was described as someone who cut himself. 15-20% of people today are cutters. 15-20% of people today are cutters. And why do they cut? They cut. It's a way to cope, and it's a way to deal with emotional stress. Cutting, people who take razor blades, people who take something sharp, and they will make cuts on their arm over and over again. Many of them who are not trying to kill themselves, but they're trying to express themselves and deal with the pain. There's an intense, overwhelming pain, and it's a way that they feel that they have to manage themselves. Feeling numb, trying to feel something. Also trying to communicate to the world, I need help. This man barked like a dog. He cut himself every day. Obviously, he had a lot going on. He had a lot going on. There was a lot of things going on inside this man, which lastly leads us to his last word, number 7. The man who described himself, the man who he was, being described in our text, is someone who surrounded himself with death. Lastly, he described himself as what? What did he call himself? I'm a man that's filled and consumed with a legion. A legion is a Roman term for roughly around 5,500 to 6,000 soldiers. This is a man who described himself, lastly, as someone who's consumed with 6,000 demons of darkness. 7 things consumed, surrounded him, filled him with so many demons, so many dark things, so many days of pain, so many harsh feelings, listening to so many dark thoughts every single day. For whatever reason, he was extremely and sadly broken. Had no self-control. Mark 12:43, when an evil spirit leaves a person, goes into the desert, seeking rest, finding none. Then it says, I'll return to that person I came from. So he returns, finds the former house empty, swept, in order. The spirit finds 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. That person is worse off than before. They'll get the experience. This is what the experience of this generation will be. Jesus describing what demons do. How many of us did things we shouldn't have done, but usually it was always with probably another person or 2 or 5. Well, if my friends are doing this, then it must be okay. Dark people like other dark people, and they need other dark people to make them feel good about being dark. Jesus describes the story of a man. He said, listen, there's a man who was possessed by 1 demon. Demon gets cast out. That man is left free and clean, and he's empty. He didn't know what to put back into himself after the demon left. He got rid of, let's say it was a demon of anger. He was always angry all the time. He got rid of that anger, but when that anger was gone, he didn't know how to fill that void and that hole. That demon, he left, he's cruising around, what did he do? I'm going to go find my friends. And he finds 7 other friends. And you know what they decide to do? Let's go destroy this person's life. Here's a story in the Bible. Jesus describing spiritual warfare. There are demons who are out. What is Satan's purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we couldn't just blame everything that goes, you know, bad in our life, everything that the devil made me do it, right? My brother made me do it. My sister made me do it. We can't keep continuing to blame other people. But you need to understand and be fully aware every single day there are demons who are trying to oppress you and destroy your life. They want to destroy everything that is good in you. 2026, remember, a year to either join or 2026 to re-enlist in the battle of spiritual warfare, because it is hot and heavy out there. Things are escalating. Things are getting worse. There's a lack of love. There's so much hate and greed. There's so many dark and horrible things that are going on in our world today. And so it is a year to either join or to re-enlist back into God's army and say, God, I'm willing to fight. God, put me back in the fight. I need to step up and I need to fight. Because, like the story of this man, he battled with 6,000 demons. Repeating cycles, empty, choosing, grasping something, someone, anything to fill this empty void that I'm feeling. We all know the devil portrays himself to be an angel of light. We all know that the devil, he acts sweet and kind, and I'm so caring. Like he says, I only have the best interest for you. I'm only here to help you. But this is only a good sales pitch, because the devil, his demons, their pitch is they continue to pitch until you're hooked. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to have worry. It's okay to be lustful. It's okay to have bad desires. The devil constantly putting lies in every one of our heads, speaking things into our left ear, our right ear, because he wants to destroy our life. The devil, he uses images of light. He uses images of light. He uses words of light. Philippians 3:18. I've told you before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, there's many whose conduct shows they're really the enemy of Jesus. They're headed for destruction because their God is their appetite. They brag about things they do on life here on earth. Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye, it's like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is healthy. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. If the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is the dark? Have we been careful enough in our lives and up to this point? Have we lived? Have we allowed sources that portrayed themselves as images of light, but really had been dark, to infiltrate our thought life, our emotional life, maybe even our spiritual life this morning? This man's life, it was a mess. There's three things that happened to him, though, that he did well. When he saw Jesus, he wanted to get close to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he ran to meet Jesus. He begged him, though, don't hurt me. Don't torture me. If you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did Jesus torture anybody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Did he torture anybody? Did he hurt anybody? Did he cut anybody in half? Did he go in after someone with an axe or a pitchfork? Did Jesus ever take a sword and slowly kill someone? No. But what did the demons say to Jesus? Jesus, please don't hurt me. Jesus, don't torture me. Because people who live in the dark, to them, the light feels like torture. The truth feels like torture. People who share the truth, people who live by the truth, people who speak the truth, people who are living in darkness, they stay away from those kinds of people because they don't want to hear the truth. Jesus, don't hurt me. Don't torture me. 6,000 demons became a place of comfort. They became a place of comfort for this man. And they knew that if they got too close to Jesus, their life of comfort would change. Many of us don't understand the part of life till the day we do meet truly Jesus Christ. Many of us live filling ourselves up with baggage. Because every one of us, if you were to take a humble look at yourself to understand, I was born broken. I was born into sin. And so we grow up in sin. We grow up. Doesn't matter, and I'm not going to say, and I won't even say it, but we're all born into sin. We're all born broken. And everyone deals with selfish. Being a selfish person is sin. Being a self-centered person is sin. Because you're going to take yourself and you're going to put yourself above every other human being. Selfishness, self-centered, always concerned with what you want, where you want to go, what you want to do, your desires, what you need. Many of us, if we're not willing to admit that we carry baggage, it's because we have pride and we're unwilling to look foolish, because we all carry something. We do. We all have carried something. Carrying this man in our story today, he carried 6,000 things. I can't imagine carrying 5 big bags. Because every day you live as an angry person, that anger builds and builds and builds and builds. Every day you live as a depressed person, that depression builds and builds and builds. Every day we live as a lonely person, that loneliness builds, builds, builds. Every day people live with lust, that lust will build and build and build. And they become heavier baggage every single day. Our main character, 6,000 things that he was carrying. Negative, dark, wretched, horrible demons that pounced on him, and he believed it to be true. The devil is called the father of lies, and so he lies to us every single day, feeding negativity, feeding anger, feeding depression, feeding insecurity, feeding fear, every waking moment. And if we're not in the fight, and if we're not clothing ourselves with the proper spiritual clothing every single day, then we will be as this guy carrying baggage. And so this morning we close with one text, and it is John chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Verse 1. Jesus, walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because his own sin or his parents' sin? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sin, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Verse 4, we must quickly carry out tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one will be able to work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus then spit on the ground. He made mud with the saliva. He spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man was washed and he came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said he was. Others said, nah, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, yes, it's me. I'm the same one. I'm the same one. Verse 10. They asked, who healed you? What happened? He told them, the man they call Jesus. He made mud. He spread it over my eyes, and he told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went, and I washed, and now I can see. Where is he now, they asked. I don't know, he replied. I don't know. We look at this last text, and there's so many great things in this story. But the first thing that comes up in verses 1 through 3, I love the question is, was this man blind because of his own sin or his parents' sin? And what was the response Jesus gave? It had to do with neither. And I ask us this morning, because we've all said it, we've all thought it, why are they less fortunate? Why are they dealing? Why are they crazy? Why do they look demonic? Why are they this way? Is it their sin? Was it their parents' sin? What did Jesus say? It's neither. But what were they doing? They were talking about a man who was blind. They were talking about an illness. They were talking about a problem that this man had. And this is what humans do. Fortunately, we do it every single day. We're talking about what? Other people's issues. He was a blind man who had issues. And whose fault is it? His or his parents? Because most of us, we've all blamed our parents for things. We've all blamed our family for things. I got, you know, my family's whack. They're crazy, right? My parents were horrible. Jesus in this story says it's neither one of those things. Why am I dealing with this? Why are bad things keep happening to me? Someone jumps and says, it's because you probably have sin. It's not always sin. It's not always sin. Jesus sees this poor man. He spits on the ground. He makes some mud. He puts the mud on the guy's eyes. He tells him, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sin. Anytime a priest, a rabbi, a person would pray for healing or heal someone, they would tell them to go wash. Kind of like being baptized. What's the symbol and representation of being baptized? It's a person who is dark, that's going into the water, that's going to go under the water, that as they come up, they're confessing and they're stating, I'm a brand new person, and all my dark past and all my dark things I'm leaving behind. And when I come up out of that water, I'm a brand new person, a person who's a child and a product of the light of Jesus Christ. And everything else, like this man who had to go wash, healed and whole and leaving it all behind. And so Jesus puts dirty spit mud on his eyes, tells him to wash, and as he did, he was completely healed. So unrecognizable. Everybody was saying, where's that blind beggar? Where's that blind guy? And he's standing right in front of them. It's me, it's guys, it's me, it's me. And they're like, nah, that can't be you. You were blind. They couldn't recognize him. Everything in this story, everything in our beginning text, it all leads to this one thing. I want you to bump your neighbor and say, it's this one thing. It is this one thing. It is all just this one thing. And that is, as we said, we're all born in sin and brokenness. The truth of the matter is, we're all born blind. And so there's only one thing. There's only one thing that helps us to see the truth. It's God's unconditional love. Without being able to see, without being able to feel, without even being able to accept the unconditional love, Jesus is the only one who can take the mud, who can take the dirt. He is the only absolute one who can take the spit and the mud and the 6,000 demons. He's the only one that has so much power and might and unconditional love that he sees through the dirt. Jesus sees through the mud. Jesus sees through 6,000 demons to look deep into a person's heart. And you know what he sees? He sees the good. And he sees the kind part of every single heart. Jesus alone with his unconditional love, having compassion on every single human on this planet. Only God love, unconditional love. It's a love that is being described. It's caring. It's loving. It's giving. It's serving. It's sacrificing. It's giving up its way so that it can make a better way for somebody else. This unconditional love, it's the one thing that truly is honestly missing in most of the world today. No matter how many Christians that are on our planet today, it's the unconditional love of God that we're, for some reason, we're not allowing for it to flow through us like a river in us and through us and then extending so that other people can wash. The man was sent to be washed so that he could be what? Healed and whole. our baggage skit. What happened as he got and dealt with more baggage? It affected the way he treated people. It affected the way that he treated people. And then when we treat people wrong, most of us don't ever take responsibility for our own wrong. It's your fault. Unconditional love. Jesus, all the power, all the might, was willing to see through spit and mud and play with it on the ground and touch it and make mud to put it on somebody's eyes. Taking that, whatever he made on the ground with his spit, taking that, getting his hands dirty to work on the soul of this person so that one thing can happen. He would have the ability to see. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth because we don't want to see it. Sometimes we don't want to see what's right in front of us. Because like the man with 6,000 demons, it's easier and comfortable to just to be who I am. Have you ever heard of the definition of insanity? How many of us have ever expected a different outcome in life, but we choosing to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, wanting something different, but not willing to make any changes. My last verse, and we're going to close with this, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And this is the first part, and this is the great part, that God, what? He always will accept every one of us. And he says every single day, come to me, come to me, come to me. I'm not going to push you away. I'm not going to be too busy for you. I'm not going to be distracted when you're talking to me. Jesus says, come to me every single day. Come to me, come to me. All you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest. But the second part is where it takes it even deeper. And Jesus said, listen, take my yoke, his life, his principles, his teaching upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and I'm gentle, and you're going to find rest for your souls. The first part of the formula is to come to Jesus, but it's the second part that people leave out. The second part, you're not going to just come to Jesus and lose all the baggage, even though that's what it feels like and sounds like. Jesus, no. Coming to Jesus is the first part. The second part of the formula is more important than the first. He said, accept my teaching. Accept my words, and you have to put them on you. You have to put my words upon you. And when you put my words upon you, they will teach you how to be humble and gentle. And then, he said, you find rest for your soul. The yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light. Come to Jesus. Then accept the words and take them as our own. Our theme this month, which leads to Resurrection Sunday, is unconditional love. And it's only the unconditional love that sees through the dirt, that sees through the mud, that sees through 6,000 demons to look deep into every one of our heart, minds, and souls. God alone, not judging the appearance of anybody, not judging the words and the manipulation and insecurity and jealousy. It's God who sees through all the mess to what? To embrace every single one of us. The unconditional love, it's what breaks the mold. It's the unconditional love that breaks the chains. It's the unconditional love that breaks the shackles on our feet. It's the unconditional love that changed the world. And the only thing in return that God asks us back is to give the same love to everybody we see. Let's pray.